Hey, this is ZZ from my latest sponsor, ExpressVPN. You know, Netflix has different content available to users depending on where they're located. Netflix has thousands of shows, but you can only get access to a fraction of that because of where you are. If you're utilizing Netflix without using ExpressVPN, it's like paying for a gym membership but only being able to use the treadmill. So, how does this work? ExpressVPN lets you change your online location so you can control where you want Netflix to think you're located. They have almost 100 different server locations, so you can gain access to thousands of new shows. I'm talking like Star Trek, the original series on UK Netflix, Brooklyn Nine-Nine on Canadian Netflix, Rick and Morty on French Netflix, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air on Indian Netflix, the Harry Potter movie series on Australian Netflix. The list goes on and on. In the Easy household, we utilize ExpressVPN, and we've unlocked so much content that my family and myself can enjoy. But then you might be like, Eric, we can use other VPNs. No. Listen, blazing fast speeds, stream in HD with zero buffering, compatible with all of your devices, phones, laptops, media consoles, smart TVs, and more, and it encrypts your data. ExpressVPN has the added benefit of encrypting your data so you can browse the web securely. Look, be smart. Stop paying full price for streaming services and only getting access to a fraction of their content. Get your money's worth at expressvpn.com/Zane. Don't forget to use my link at expressvpn.com/Zane to get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Friends of the Eric Zane Show podcast. But you're wondering, hey, you're starting this early? What's going on? I'm massively confused. Yes, you should be because, well, as I talked about like some time ago, well, it was just a couple days ago. I mentioned that Friday was going to be a little weird because I'm doing a radio show, another radio show. Oh, same shirt as yesterday. This is great. Another radio show on from my friends at Blarney Stone Broadcasting. The folks over there said, EZ, can you fill in from 11 to 12 to do the sports talk show? And I did not want to do that. Well, first, at all, you know, at the whole thing started, I thought they meant like permanently, like every Friday at 11, I gotta do a radio show. And I'm like, well, no, that's really into my podcast day. I don't want to, you know, I keep doing little teeny tiny compromises overall. I said, no, I can't do that. Typically on a Friday, I will get done at 9 with the radio show as opposed to 10. And then I can get this one started earlier. And, but what I didn't take into account today was that I got the sports show. So I was just going to go take like 1 hour off and then not even start the podcast until noon. And I talked about that. But then I said, you know, let's just do act one, act two today, because I have a one-off appearance today on a radio station called Up North Sports Radio, 101.1 WGRY. And I'm doing that with those folks, and I'm planning on trying to stream it here. I think there's a way that I can do that. So, and I haven't been able to test this, so, but I'm reasonably confident that I can. So what you will see for an hour is me and JC, and we might have somebody else in there, doing a sports talk radio show. Now, he's the leader of the pack there and on this show. So I'm kind of like just following his lead. I don't know how I managed to draw attention to host a sports radio show. Same thing happened with the Huge show. Oh my God, EZ, you've really taken off in your sports knowledge. I'm like, I don't think I have. I don't think I have. But for some reason, people keep reaching out saying, hey, EZ, let's do this. This is the website for the radio station, Up North Sports Radio. There you go. You got the golf show. A lot of ads. They cover these sports, Michigan, the Red Wings, Tigers, Pistons, Lions. And here's the link for Friday Face-Off. This is the show. It says click an episode to play. And we can hear the very current June 23, 2023 episode of the Friday Faceoff.
Good morning, Northern Michigan. Welcome to Friday Faceoff on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Shanny Creek.
This is something I've never done before with these folks.
With Kate Gay.
Jesu, we've been following the Gaylord girls softball team all season long. They were number one ranked for much of that season in Division II, Keith, and they came through big time last Saturday with a huge 8-3 win against Vicksburg.
The details of that are pretty impressive. They most teams win championships with pitching and defense. What about these girls, the way they hit the
ball? Set a state record for home runs, hit 72 home runs.
Okay, on this show, they start off talking about girls high school softball. I don't know if I can bust out any high school softball talk.
So it's primarily baseball.
This is JC.
And until football camps open.
That's right. That's right. But as far as baseball goes, Tigers are on a little bit of a
on a heater, and they don't. And there's a lot of people in the administration
rotate around and do things like that.
All right, I'm going to do horribly. I don't know anything about what these people are talking about. Aram says, "Will it be serious or jokey?" Well, I don't know. I do not know what to expect. Sarah says, you are so popular, must be the hair. It could be. Kenny suggests that I liven it up. Ryan says, channel your inner Trump, big fraud. Ramble on and make it sound like you're an expert. Oh, that's terrific advice. So that happens today, right around 11 o'clock. I want to get, look at Darla there. Holy cow. She's posing. What is it, big girl? What is it, my big girl? Holy cow. So I wrote in the teaser, top story, Chip Scarborough. Our friends at Ottawa County, the commissioners, are taking giving themselves a 60% pay raise. Wow. So an organization that has been, I don't know how these people are electable moving forward. You got them wasting a lot of money for all the legal fees, lawsuits, Freedom of Information Act requests, have been spending a lot of people's money that live in and around here. And of course, Ottawa County is where I live. And so there's been a lot of weird looking things. Now, the locals here, they love the fact that they blew out the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Office. They have started a war with people that are not white straight. Okay? There's a real backlash on these people in Ottawa Impact. Now, a lot of the people that live here actually love the idea of a culture war. They love the idea of them destroying the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Office. There was all that nonsense with the health department that ended up costing them millions of dollars at the health department, and they didn't even get what they wanted. They ended up staying with the woman, Adeline Hambly. And so now, to turn around after all this nonsense, it'll be 2 years in January that the Ottawa Impact losers have been in charge. But the board has agreed to give themselves a 60% pay raise. How the fuck is that even legal? You can give yourself a 60% pay raise? Of course, these are positions that are paid by taxpayer dollars to run the county the way they see fit. And they are running the county the way they see fit. I'll give them that, right into the ground. So this is remarkable. There's more to this. A 60% pay raise. And they're also giving themselves a $1,000 stipend.
per month. If pushed through, they would have the highest salaries throughout West Michigan, even beating out Kent and Kalamazoo counties, according to county documents. Fox 17 asked the Ottawa County Compensation Board Thursday if they approved giving commissioners the requested 60% pay raise. I don't know how the fuck you can say that with a straight face. We would like a 60% pay raise. I just don't get it. How are you not laughed off the property? I mean, most of us, if we're lucky, we can get a, what's it? Standard of living pay raise. And I don't know what that is. It's a few points per year. We would be happy with that. A lot of us don't even get that. For the record, the pricing on the Eric Zane Show podcast marketing, advertising, has not gone up in more than 5 years. I am a fucking legend. I'm not even going to comment. Angela Loreth answered our Matt Wilkos, while several other members ignored his request for comment and walked out of the room. The 7-member board handles the salaries of elected county officials. My suggestion was 6% because it would be along the same lines as the county employees got this year, said board chair Larry Jackson, explaining regarding his initial idea of a pay raise for commissioners. However, at a recent meeting, the board approved a much larger 60% increase by a 3-to-1 vote. Jackson being the one in opposition. I wonder if that's the same Larry Jackson who's trying to oust Lucy Ebel. I don't know. This might require a Spalding moment here. When asked why he voted no, Jackson said, because it's outlandish. That's the biggest reason I voted no, because it didn't fit with the survey we saw. Chairperson and Ottawa Impact founder and all-around shitface Joe Moss could be making the most at a $43,400 annual salary. Currently, Moss makes $27,127 as chair, and the rest of the commissioners make $20,884. I will say that that does seem low for a commissioner, but I don't think they should effectively more than double the amount of money that they make. I'm going to give my pal Joe Spalding a buzz, see what he thinks about all this. I got a nice comment from Bleeding Heart Brian. He said the impromptu interviews make him happy, that he likes those. Well, thank you. See if we can get Joe on here. He usually takes my call. Patreon member, too. Love him. Good morning. Now I'm podcasting. I wanted to let you know.
Oh, yeah, that'll happen.
Yeah.
So what's going on?
Well, I saw the story about the Ottawa County commissioners are trying to get a 60% pay raise.
Oh, you don't think they've earned it?
Yeah, my God. Talk about at a time when the constituents who I think are turning on them, it's not exactly the best timing for them to do something like this. Yes?
Yeah, it seems pretty ill-fated, and I don't know if it matters too much other than, like, I mean, this matters. I don't know if this point matters, but Joe Moss gets a few extra $1,000 more than everybody else because he's the chair when that kicks in. So I think that'll bump him up pretty close to $40,000.
Yeah, even more, and then they even asked for a $1,000 a month stipend. Now,
what?
Yeah, exactly. What do you do?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I know these people all have regular jobs and are in their careers, but to me that seems absurd. That much of a raise, anybody with any common sense would know that it just doesn't work that way. And there's a board of directors that votes on these sort of things, not the commission. I mean, it's not like they're saying yes, we want one, and yes, we get one. There's a kind of like a fiscal wing to the county that determines if this is legit, correct?
Yeah, it's a compensation committee. is what it's called. But yeah, you're right. Yep.
I saw that there was a member of the compensation committee, the name Larry Jackson. Is that our Larry Jackson?
That is Larry Jackson. He is the chair of the Ottawa County Democratic Party.
So he's on the Compensation Commission board.
Yeah, he was the one no vote.
Okay. Yeah, he said no, 6% raise is appropriate because that's what they did last year. And I think that kind of covers cost of living.
Yeah, and the thing is that, like, you know, I said this to Doug Zylstra a long time ago. I said, like, Doug, you're a great guy. Just keep being a great guy. These guys are going to take that personally and make themselves look like clowns. And, you know, I didn't talk to Larry about that. And I honestly, I didn't know he was on the compensation committee until I read the article myself.
Yeah,
it's not a very like high profile committee. Larry was the one that's like, hey, let's give him a 6% raise. Like, inflation happened and like, we got to acknowledge that it's the right thing to do. And they're the ones that are like, okay, let's do 60%.
Right.
You're like, what? I mean, like, I wish Larry would have started that like last year then, because like that would have, they would have done the same thing then. Like, this is all a huge money grab. They are stealing from taxpayers. And the thing that I think is hilarious about this is it feels like they're trying to gentrify the plot of Brewster's Millions and go out there and spend hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, in order to make a few bucks on the back end. It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. And I'm really surprised that they did it, knowing where they've been and how much money they've cost the county and how their base, those right-wing fanatics, that's one thing that really kind of ticks them off that might actually sway them in their vote or lose faith in what they're doing to give them that much money.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's a 10 grand. Like, yeah, everybody wants to make 10 grand more. And then that makes that brings that to the question that you brought up. It wasn't your question. You just specifically stated it. Like, what the fuck have these guys done for us? Like, not lately, like at all.
At
like
all.
What have they done?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And you'll get the diehard say, well, they got rid of DEI and all that woke shit. And they told us that this is where liberty rings or whatever the fuck. And yeah, you know, you get all that dumb group of people. But I'm excited to see where this goes. And especially the fact that Larry Jackson, he's the same guy who instituted the recall effort for Lucy Ebel. And so it's just really strange to me, all the cross-pollination. And you said you weren't even aware of that either. But when I saw Larry Jackson, I was like, Jesus Christ, he's actually got a hand in determining what these people make. I'm surprised he even said 6%.
Yeah, I mean, that was big of him, I think. And the other three people that voted for the 60% increase, they were all appointed in the last year.
Okay, right. Well, this is just yet another thing that the voting public is catching wind of. I think that if Moss was smart, he would immediately backtrack and say, we're going to rescind this because the time isn't right. Just take the L and move on. But in my opinion, this is yet another thing that makes them unelectable when it comes to the next time around, which there's a recall in just a couple of weeks vote, maybe less than a week, for Lucy Ebel. And then the upcoming 2-year vote for the rest of the crew in November, right?
Yeah, and you know, I'm starting to have some bigger thoughts about this in terms of the GOP, because like Joe Moss and Ottawa Impact do not understand the concept of other people's money. They don't get taxpayer dollars. To them, it's like this infinite fountain of money that comes out of nowhere. Like, literally, they think it grows on trees. And like, that's, the government can't operate that way. And Republicans, like, traditionally have been able to be fiscally responsible and make calls for fiscal responsibility. But like, the second they get distracted by these national level nonsense issues, the second that they want to bully trans kids, you know, in high school, like, talk about high school athletes, that's two students across the entire state of Michigan every 4 years at the varsity level. And that's their big issue. Yeah. They forget about how tax dollars work and how they shouldn't be burning them in a furnace. It is just ridiculous.
I'm excited to hear what you have to say at the next commission meeting. It's always quite a treat when you step up to the podium. And I say, I see the eyes rolling by the usual suspects up front. But that is fuel for our man, Joe Spalding, I'm guessing.
That is correct. And I don't know how much else we need to go in on this, because it's just so obviously and blatantly corrupt. But there is an election for Lucy Ebel against Christian Kleinjans on May 7th. Folks in Holland Township can just head on over to the Holland Township office while they're open today or Monday and vote if they want, in-person absentee. That's always an option. There's never going to be a line doing that. There won't be any lines this election anyway, because it's a special election. Folks are going to go in there. It'll be a little lower turnout than like a presidential election. But this is our chance to show Ottawa Impact that Ottawa County isn't going to tolerate this bullshit. And Tuesday's election day, Tuesday night, we're going to find out if, this is the beginning of the end, or if this is going to be a much longer fight than anybody anticipated.
I like that you just explained that. So today, May 3rd, you can go to the Holland Township office. Is that what you said?
Yeah, so the Holland Township office is out on 120th Street, out kind of by the old mall, Star Theater-ish AMC Theater there. And, okay. Yep, and you can go vote there. There's one precinct in Park Township that's out by the old airport, is their township office. But you go there, you're like, hey, I got to vote, and someone will tell you where to go vote.
So you can vote absentee today in those places. You can vote absentee Monday in those places. And then the actual election day, you can go there and vote on that day. We want to see as many people that live in those areas that happen to be listening to this podcast every single one of those votes counts, and we need to get Lucy Ebel out of there, and that would take Ottawa Impact out of the majority that they're in and would slow down their absurd governing of this county.
Yep. And I generally am very, very big on having set expectations for what happens in an election I'm participating in on any level. I have no clue. I will not be surprised if this is a landslide. I will not be surprised if this is determined by one single vote. We don't know what happens on Tuesday yet.
It'll be a very exciting, and whoever would have thunk that a county election would be drawing literally national and in some cases worldwide attention for one little old lady, to whether or not she's going to be in office or out of office. I can promise you all the major news outlets who have been doing stories on the Ottawa County debacle will be watching this very, very closely because of this one little pocket of the community that you mentioned in Holland Township. That's remarkable if you think about it.
It really is, and I don't know what it is, but I get involved in campaigns, and suddenly there's just sometimes these giant spotlights. First campaign I ever worked on was Claire McCaskill, her reelection campaign, and our idiot opponent Todd Akin said that women couldn't get pregnant if they were legitimately raped, whatever the fuck.
Oh,
that means.
I remember that.
Yeah, in national spotlight, he got nuked from orbit on election day. It's these guys. We got to show folks that you can't run for office and behave like that. That is just awful.
We got a couple questions. One in particular, I think basically what they're trying to find out is that they don't understand how there hasn't been any kind of investigation about what's going on there, like from the attorney general. And there may be. I'm not aware. Do you know anything about that?
So the sad reality is that there's not a whole lot of legal infrastructure for prosecuting local level politicians or county level politicians that get elected and then have blatant conflicts of interest. There are ethical expectations, and when those don't get fulfilled, because they are at the end of the day an individual's choice, and if the person is devoid of ethics, they're going to ignore it. Like, there's not a whole heck of a lot of legal recourse. Now, if they steal money, if they do anything bad with campaign finance, yeah, we might be able to catch that. Those are hard to catch. Not the stealing money, but the campaign finance violation stuff. Those things are very hard to catch, and they take a lot of time to prove. So those things do get drawn out in court over periods of years. But yeah, I'd love to see some of these guys right in cuffs, because what they do is borderline criminal, but it's a lot of it's not technically illegal, and maybe we end up fixing that in the future with some new laws. But it's hard, because the second that we try to do that, there will be big arguments about local control.
Right.
And that's a hard thing to wrestle against.
Well, prior to all of this happening a year and a half ago, county government never considered to be anything that would need those type of watchdog parameters, because they're approving road budgets. They're approving funding to feed the poor. It's boring. It's a that's when it's a $25,000 a year job. And now, because of all of this clown show and nonsense that has taken place, now people are like, oh, fuck, this is just marching through unchecked. And, you know, maybe you're right. In the future, people are like, we have to make sure that there's things in place to keep this from happening.
Yeah, so your county government exists, and the reason county government exists in Michigan functionally is because of those. We call it professionally a funding pass-through. It's not an administrative body that creates laws. The county government, like, it passes through these grants, and they exist. So when the state government's like, let's distribute a bunch of money across the state can be like, oh, the county government knows how to distribute that most effectively for the cause we need them to distribute.
Right.
Let's let the counties do that in 83 different spots across the state. And the Ottawa Impact members thought that they could use the county government to legislate across the county. And that's why they were frustrated during COVID anyway, because they thought that the county government was writing the laws. They fucking weren't.
Okay, so they were so enraged because they had to wear a stupid mask and their dumbass church got canceled for a few weeks. That's what mobilized them. The idiots that voted for them, these fucking freedom fighters, on a very sparsely attended election managed to get their foot in the door and make this happen. Cole writes, if your local government is national news, they must be gotten rid of. You should barely know their names. That's true.
For most folks, yeah, that's true. Only assholes like me should know who these guys are.
Right, and boy, you are an asshole. What an awesome asshole you are.
Yeah, I'm ours though, right? So I'm proud of that. So
all right, there you go. I appreciate your time as always. Give my best to the crew that's working hard and looking forward to the results on May 7th.
Yep, and we're gonna get out the vote. Let's go.
All right, buddy. Thank you, Joe Spaulding.
Thank you, Eric.
Indeed. There he is. He's an absolute legend. That guy, if you've ever seen him speak at one of those commission meetings, I mean, it's one thing if I'm on here trying to deliver some poo-poo caca wacky news or whatever the fuck it is I do here. Him to stay. Hey, no, let's not do that. Him standing in front of those people with all these eyes on him, people who want to kill him. And he just, boom, punches him right in the face. The commission eating Joe Spaulding punches repeatedly. My God. All right. Okay, I got to get on. Just hearing from my friends over at Q100. They want me to get on the Skype. So check that out in a little bit. Thank you so much. And I will be back with Act Two later. Hello, friends. Welcome into the Eric Zane Show podcast, Act Two, a daily show where I discuss news, nonsense, and my personal adventure. Almost just had a coffee disaster. You got to keep it out of arms reach, that when you swing your arms, you don't, like, hit something. And I just did that. So I'll have to clean that up in a second. Look, it's right there. See it?
Hang on.
Uh-huh. All right. The life of a small-time podcaster. Welcome in. I'm back. Today's a wacky day because I started the podcast a little after 9. Had to stop it to get on the radio with JC. For Up North Sports Radio 101.1 to do the show Friday Face-Off. It went well. I did not know my mic. I had an idea that my mic was hot. And JC was interviewing a guy from the local airport. And I farted on the mic. And I wasn't sure if I rolled the dice on the deal. I said, I wonder if it'll go over the air. Well, I guess it did. Because he went, and he's like, what? What the fuck? What are you doing? Now, there's a chance that there might be new audience that are enjoying the show, or I shouldn't say enjoying it. It's a huge pile of shit. I have not spoken of doing a podcast on the radio in Northern Michigan since I started. Frankly, I feel that if there's cross-pollination, it leads to problems. You know, they're separate. Because you know how it is these days. You can say something in the freedom of this area on the podcast platform, and then someone is going to say, you hired this old idiot. I cannot believe you. I am protesting your radio company. It's like, oh, Jesus. So I don't feel it's appropriate to say, hey, I know you love me playing the tunes here on Q100, but check out the podcast. You're going to love it. Because I don't know that they're going to love it. Now, if they find it just by accident, all right. But I don't know if I'm necessarily comfortable telling people to listen to the podcast. And that is counterintuitive because, you know, you want more people to listen, ultimately. But, I'm not buying that. But the first time it was mentioned was today. JC says, all right, Eric Zane, and he does a podcast. And he's got a filthy mouth. I'm like, yeah, it's terrible, JC. And I said all of this that I'm saying right now. So I hope that doesn't come back to bite me in the ass. As we talked about on this show, beloved owner of the radio station is JC's better half, Cheryl. Cheryl and JC hired me to do the morning show. JC is well aware going into this of how I talk poo-poo caca on here. But the one that makes the decision, the boss, Cheryl, was not aware. So we had a conversation. I go, you were not aware of what I do on that show, right? You've not heard a show yet. She goes, that is correct. And I'm like, oh. I'm glad she didn't, because I don't think I'd have gotten the job. I think they would have said, whoa, whoa, whoa. This is too much. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong on that. But you have a blend of people in northern Michigan who do have some sensibilities that kind of line up with my own. So maybe it would be a huge hit, but I'm not willing to risk that, you know? Because all it takes is one apple to upset the apple cart. And I think eventually, honestly, I think eventually that will always be my undoing. Always my mouth will be my undoing. The things I say on here. Now I'm being frank with you and honest right now. But 99% of the time, I'm going out of my way to say things that would get the shit kicked out of you in the street. I seek it out. And the way of the world is today, there is no place for that type of nonsense anywhere. Anywhere. So I look at myself as on borrowed time in any realm. The fact that I was fired by a Gift of Life because I was defending them, and I lost my job as a media ambassador for Gift of Life Michigan. You know, the guy who actually gave away a kidney. That was a real realization for me that what I say just doesn't jive with the real world. You know, it's just not there. People don't behave like me. But, I mean, hell, I'm willing to just ride off into the sunset, kicking and screaming, and always swinging for the fences, goddammit. That is the only way this is going to work. Can you imagine if I was talking on a microphone and being concerned about what's coming out of my mouth, how shitty it would be? Can't have that. Chris takes the quote, the real world has changed. I have not. Signed, EZ. Perfect. Ryan says, one would think that a statement like that about your podcast would cause such intrigue to her that she would check it out. Perhaps stumbling into a cosmic wormhole that she could never free herself from. Ending, of course, in total and complete termination. Exactly. We don't want everybody to know about the podcast. We don't want the rest of the world to be here. Because it's only going to get fucked up. I mean, let's just say, in a wild moment, Some gigantic podcasting platform like Spotify says, we love you forever. We want to pay you millions of dollars to do your stupid show. And then the first day I say the R word or tell somebody to go fuck themselves. Like, oh, no, we got to have a 3-hour meeting. I'm like, ah, fuck, here it is. It's getting ruined. You got me by the balls. I need to make that clear to people. In any more type of business transactions, what we're dealing with. Just so that, you know, there's some transparency. But that's the way I talk. I saw that it's been published that our pals on the Free Beer and Hot Wings show have been nominated for the National Radio Hall of Fame. Hang on, I got to drink this coffee. That sounds fantastic on its surface. You are a Hall of Famer. I had a former general manager of mine from one of the radio stations that carry the Freeburn Hot Wing show reach out to me and say, congratulations on the nomination. And I said, ha ha, yeah, funny. He goes, no, seriously, you have a lot to do with that show going into the Hall of Fame or being nominated for the Hall of Fame. I go, wait. Do you know something I don't know? Have I been named in that? He goes, well, no, but that is a legacy award. That means from the beginning of the show in 1990, whatever, to 2024 and all the things in between are being put into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I go, oh, okay, that's nice. Now, what I know about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is, not the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the National Radio Hall of Fame, is this is a pay-for-play thing where people that you work with start a campaign to make you nominated. And there is a transaction fee that goes into this. All right? You need some home cooking in order to make this happen. This isn't like a groundswell from audience. They say it is, but it's not. All right? It's them in a closed door meeting, the nomination team, and they come up with their nominees. And once they come up with their nominees, then they present it and say, all right, here's the nominees for the class of 2024 for the National Radio Hall of Fame. Ryan says, boy, that would be really interesting. Can you imagine? That would also imply that a certain owner of PPE loans to support his various radio stations would also be present. If I were ever asked to be part of anything to do with them, if they were actually to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, and I won't because a cottage industry of mine is rubbing their noses in shit repeatedly, I would not respond to the text or the invite. I wouldn't do that. Can you imagine how much of a phony I would look like if I happened to be invited to that pile of shit? And make no mistake, this is like a poverty version of buying a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. It's that bad. Let's go over the good, the bad, and the ugly. This is Craig Kitchen. Cool story about him. He was on the, he was one of the people that one time said something about me and my then friends, the Free Beer and Hot Wings show, in a room full of our peers. He said something that made all of us realize that we had made it, that we were going to be big. And we're sitting there. There's 1,000 radio people at a thing called Morning Show Boot Camp. And I hated these things. Social gathering, it's just not for me. But I would go. And this guy was speaking on a panel. So there's all these big wigs up on a stage. And this guy named Mike McVeigh is hosting it. And we had talked to this guy. He was interested. He was at the time running iHeartMedia. And we had talked to him about maybe one day down the road, working for iHeart. I don't know why we're just exploring options. No big deal. So we got to meet this guy face to face, and he seemed like an all right guy. And then here we are in a room full of 1,000 radio people in all these different markets. And then McVay asked this dude, Kitchen, he goes, so as we wind out, what is your, you know, there's a lot of up and coming shows. What's on your radar? And he goes, well, you know, there are a lot of great shows out there that are on our radar. But I would say the one show that is on our radar the most and that we are the most intrigued by and we think has such tremendous upside, you know where this is going, is the Free Beer and Hot Wings show. And we like, what? What the fuck just happened? You know, and I'll never forget it because Jeff from Jeff and Jer in San Diego, he's sitting behind us. He goes, holy fuck, you can go buy a boat. This is it. And everybody's like patting us on the back. Our ears are turning bright red. We're so embarrassed. It was incredible. That was a big, big moment for us. We were on cloud nine after Craig Kitchen. So this is Craig. He is the chairman of the Radio Hall of Fame. I don't know this dude, Dennis Green, the co-chairman, Radio Hall of Fame. He's chief operating officer. He's the one who cashes the checks when people say, hey, you got to make our show the nominee for the Hall of Fame. And then this nerd goes, yeah, thanks. So then the Hall of Fame, here you go. This is the nominating committee members. I think I wasn't even showing you those faces. There's Craig Kitchen right there. And then there's this guy, Dennis Green. So these two run the whole thing. I don't know anything more about Craig other than he was nice to us back in the day. But nominating committee members, these are the ones who pick what radio shows will be nominated for the Radio Hall of Fame. This first person here, Nancy Abramson. I know Nancy. She is the Senior Vice President, Affiliate Sales and Content for Compass Media Networks. Let me back up. Let's get to the nominees this year. Big D and Bubba, Compass Media Network show. I don't know who else these people are. This guy looks like Kenny Rogers. And Free Beer and Hot Wings, Compass Media show. And the number one person who's in charge of the nominating is Nancy Abramson, Compass Media Networks. That's what I meant about home cooking being involved in this. So Nancy from Compass Media Networks is part of the committee to nominate two shows from Compass Media Networks. More big wigs. Guy's got a big forehead. Bruce Gilbert, I know him. Nice guy. Cumulus. Kurt Johnson, Senior Vice President, Town Square Media. Sound familiar? That guy fired me. Fuck him. It doesn't end there. Oh, no. There was one more. I swear to God, there was one more person involved with this who looks familiar. A name looks familiar. Maybe I'm getting that wrong. So Nancy and Kurt Johnson are part of the nomination team. I find that interesting because Town Square Media is the show, is the company that hosts the Free Beer and Hot Wings show. And Nancy from Compass Media Networks is part of the syndication company. So you can do the math right there. That's how it is. Chris says, it seems rigged. Well, of course it's rigged. Ryan says, Stern always said he would never accept it. So congrats, I guess. I guess they indicated on the air that they won't get it. It's just nice to be, featured, I guess. Brandon from the Drew and Mike show says, I'm looking forward to your Hall of Fame speech. Congrats. I should call his ass, see what he's doing over there. If you ever listen to the Drew and Mike Show podcast, you hear this voice all the time.
Hello.
Hey, I'm podcasting.
Hello, Eric Zane. How are you?
How are you, Brandon? How are things in the world of Drew and Mike?
Well, we've converted to the Drew Lane Show now, but everything's going great.
I didn't know that. You made an adjustment to the title of the show?
Yeah. Let's just say it wasn't our call, but we're going forward as the Drew Lane Show, and we're doing just fine, but not as good as you radio Hall of Famer, you.
Yeah, I've had more than one person suggest that, but I don't feel like that's true.
Why?
Because, I don't know, just being away from it for so long, and also I like to rub their noses in shit every chance I get. It wouldn't be right, you know?
It doesn't matter, my man. What happens is when a band goes in the Radio Hall of Fame, they take the best of, man. They take the core group. They take that solid lineup that propelled them into, you know, that trajectory of stardom. And unfortunately for them, you're included. And I believe Joe is too. So I can't wait to hear your speech.
Now, I've heard this floated before, but is that in writing anywhere? I don't think it is.
What do you mean, is it in writing?
Well, I mean, I would need to see it. In order to take this as serious, I would have to see they're listing the show members of the year and our names come up. That to me, but I think that the award itself is a joke because it's all lobbying and money, you know? It's just people spending money. It's like buying a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Sure, I understand, and there is a lot of promotion based on fan bases. I remember when that one dude went in just because his wife was campaigning on the Howard Stern show, and that's pretty much the only reason that guy went in. But I don't know. I think that it's an honor, and you know, if one, you should accept your trophy, and I'm excited to see if you're included. It'll be fun to see. Maybe get the gang back together.
Brandon from the Drew Lane Show is here, and you got your start in broadcasting where?
I started just as an internship with WRIF and the Drew and Mike Show. I got really lucky and I stayed with them for about a year, and that was a lot of fun. But then, you know, in radio, you got to climb the totem pole. So I jumped over to Traverse City, where I was at WTCM for quite some time, and then jumped to Saginaw, and then eventually back with Drew and Mark Fellhauer and the gang there. And we've been kicking ass podcasting for, I think, eight years today.
It's fantastic.
I think this is our anniversary of our first ever episode in 2016. So that's pretty cool.
It's important to note how the Drew and Mike Show, with the way that drops were inserted onto the show, it became a character in and of itself, the way the drops did. And as people have, as years have passed, you are the guy that is in charge of kind of like the Fred Norris from the Stern Show, that whole thing.
I was given that power chair. We call it the power chair, where you get control of all the drops and the audio. And Mark Fellhauer also has the ability to throw some in too. And so, yeah, for a longest time now, I've been able to say that I hit fart sound effects for a living, which is pretty cool. It's fun.
How satisfying is it when you play a drop that is show stopping? Like, people just laugh their balls off. That's you. That's your voice.
Yeah. Sometimes there's a perfect drop, but they all can't be hits. And sometimes they fall flat, or sometimes I can't get to a drop in time. Can't search it in time. And people will always call in and say, "Hey, you missed a drop here. You missed a drop there," but you do what you can. It's fun though. I like hitting sound effects.
I took that page. I stole that when I started doing radio with Free Beer and Hot Wings. Drops out of left field. Some land, some don't, but it would make them uncomfortable at times. And then after I left, the show really stopped using drops. I find drops to be so damn effective, but can only be in a certain ensemble cast. Like, it would be weird if I used drops as just one person. You know what I mean? It just doesn't feel right. It's got to have somebody. I can't see it coming.
Well, some shows develop it in a different manner. You got like WATP or something. You got producer Chris who will hit it right at the end of a clip. Boom. And that'll hit nice.
Yeah.
And some of them will. Yeah. Some people, you can tell it's forced, or their drops aren't very high quality. And so it just sounds, your takeaway is, wait, what? What did I just hear? What just derailed the conversation? So I guess the goal is to try to get something that flows.
Yeah, yeah, and I can totally see that. And whenever I hear a drop and I don't know what the hell is going on when you hit it, I'm like, I should be aware. I need to listen more so I can know why that's funny. And then it's almost like it kind of almost pushes you to wanting to figure out the puzzle that you're trying to complete there.
Well, audio is fun. That's why I like the entire audio side of it. That's why I like drops. I'm still a big radio guy, which is why I was excited today when I saw that you're going in the Hall of Fame. And I think one day, hopefully, I think the Drew and Mike show deserves to be in there too. Well, so I hope they get nominated one day.
Well, they absolutely should. And I mean, what they have done over the years, and what that show did was groundbreaking. They slaughtered everybody for years and years and years. I will never understand why the Riff decided that they wanted to move on. I don't get it. I don't get the show that replaced them. And it's been nothing but respect for everyone affiliated with that show.
No, I appreciate that. Well, Dave and Chuck do pretty well for themselves, but I just think that Drew is an incredible talent behind the mic. I think he's just a natural. I watch him every day. I produce for him, and I'm in awe of him. So I think that the chemistry that he had with Mike and the dominance that they had in the 90s and the 2000s, I think that's deservingly, you know, so.
Yeah, yeah. And we've all kind of, if a show can do that, make you think back to where you were when you heard this and all those big, gigantic moments. And to me, what stood out was when Drew and Mike would be talking, about it was a very Detroit centric show, and you know they could have wound up on 100 stations. I'm guessing they had that opportunity. I don't know, but if you lose the Detroit centric style of that show, that's the base of it. And I'm so glad that they never decided to expand it to other markets. It's led them to incredible heights there.
That's why I was such a fan. They were so local. They were rooting for the same teams as me. They were celebrating the big victories and suffering with the losses. They were following the local politics that were going on, and Detroit had some crazy politics going on. So, yeah, there was nobody that covered it like they did.
Brandon, I could talk to you all day because you're just a sweet soul and you make a lot of sense and you're always fun to engage. So I look forward to talking to you again down the road, and I can't wait to see you guys at the next appearance.
Hey, that sounds great. Thanks for the call, Easy. Take it easy.
All right, buddy. Thank you so much, pal. I appreciate that. There you go. Brandon from the Drew Lane Show, which I was not aware that they changed the name of that, so that's good. Should be just fine. Check them out wherever you download shows. They are a lot of fun. All right. I have a lot of catching up to do because it's been, like I said, a kind of a scattered day. With a lot of nonsense, but I like it. I mean, this is kind of like a good type of stress, good stress. But in doing so, I have neglected to, of course, even consider talking about any of the people that help keep the lights on for the Eric Zane Show podcast. And am I ready to even talk about it now? Of course not. I don't even have the sheet open with all of the things that I need to talk about. I'm such a pile of shit today. I mean, I can't wait to get on here and talk about the things that I've talked about, but I'm absolutely unprepared. All right, now I'm not. Thank you to Impact Power Sports. They sponsored this studio, the Impact Power Sports Studio, online at impactpowersportsmi.com. So let's say you want to have some fun tearing up the trails. You want a motorcycle, an ATV, UTV, side-by-side, e-bike, electric scooter, I don't know. Maybe a golf cart made by Yamaha, the number one golf cart brand in the world. They have it all at Impact Power Sports. Online at impactpowersportsmi.com. Thank you to them. TC Paintball. Get the gang together and get after some paintball fun at TC Paintball. They're in Grand Rapids. You can book an event at tcpaintballgr.com. So the way this works is you get your bro friends or the neighborhood kids or your kids or whatever, and you book it out, and then when you walk in, you pay one fee, you get the mask, you get the gun. Great rental guns, by the way. These aren't shit guns. Paintballs flying out of there at 260 feet per second. They hurt like fuck. And you get 500 paint shots for that. One fee. The group gets together, you play paintball, you have a great time. I had a friend of mine listener John say, hey, I want to go to the paintball event. Is it kid friendly? And I'm like, how old's a kid? He goes, 12. I go, well, we do have 12-year-olds that have played, but I would recommend, has he ever, and he hasn't played before? No. I go, okay. He won't have a great experience because when he gets hit in the belly or the thigh or his asshole, it's going to hurt. And the pain lasts for about 15 seconds. And then it's gone. You get welted up. He needs to sign up for the kids league, the little league. They use the low impact weaponry and doesn't hurt. And then they can work their way into it. That's what they recommend at TC Paintball. Thank you so much for being part of the show. Blue Frost IT, online at bluefrostit.com. The managed IT service provider for the podcast. They're awesome. Berlin Raceway. Tickets for this weekend's races available now at berlinraceway.com. They are dirt cheap when you buy them online. $14 a pop. The most affordable family entertainment in all of the area. Parking free. 15 and under free. So basically, if your kids are 15 and under, they're all getting in free. Especially if you're one of these families that has like 10 kids. You know, you and the wife will cost. That's $28. Bring in 12 by 18 coolers so that the kids can eat all the snacks that you bring from home. It doesn't matter, though. They're going to want you to buy the shit inside anyway. Give me some ice cream. But anyway, that'll save you some money. And then soft drinks. You can bring in your soft drinks. No glass and no beer. You buy that there. BerlinRaceway.com. Finally, my vouch store is open. Vouch.store/Eric Zane. Vouch combines creators with small business. Here's my vouch store. Let's talk about the Origins 5-in-1 pet products. Various pet foods, supplements, yak sticks, things that help make your dog's life that much better. Canine Complete all-in-one shampoo and conditioner. And they also have the Canine Complete Bright Brightening Shampoo from our friends at Rogue Pet Science. That's who brings that to you. You can buy that, buy these products at vouch.store/Eric Zane. Don't go anywhere. I will be back with more show right after this.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
All right. Hey, yeah. Questions. Ashley says, how do people play? It seems so painful. Yeah, you're right. I think I got a welt here. Yep. Still a little tender. That one's not a bad welt. Got hit right in the belly fat. Stings a little. Because it hurts for a brief instance, and that's about it. It's fun. It's just fun. Yeah, when I play, I get a little anxious because I don't move that well anymore, and I just feel sometimes like I'm a fucking sitting duck. Tyler says, I had a nasty welt on my thigh for a couple of months from a point-blank shot. Now, in the winter, if we're playing when it's like cold weather outside, you can layer up and then it's not so bad. Dr. Jim is in the chat. This is a good thing because I'm about to talk about my messed up chicken wing right here. Dr. Jim has been instrumental on this show, with his point of view. And that led to, you know, he was being nice to me. So what does that mean that I do? Make fun of him. We talked about his credentials. As you can see, he uses Dr. Jim Barry. And I talked about this on the show, and I said, okay, it looks to me like all your credentials, and I read the credentials, athletic trainer, state certified athletic trainer, nationally registered EMT, impact trained athletic trainer, And then I'm like, what the hell? He's calling himself a doctor. This crazy man is advising me about what I need to do with my chicken wing. And he indicated that his doctorate is in educational doctorate in learning. So he is not a doctor. And I think Kenny said something about him that pissed him off, too. I forget what. Dr. Jim, if you could elaborate on what Kenny said that annoyed you. Because Dr. Jim wrote this. Oh, man, because he heard my beat up of him. I didn't hear the podcast until after I sent the other email. Kenny can suck off, and I'm fine with you busting my balls. I don't know if that was because Kenny was promoting chiropractors, or maybe he was attacking you. Because the way I've felt about attacking people on this show is people seem to let me get away with it for the most part. We've had enough conversations that very rarely will someone take it personally these days. You still have the Kenny low point moments, which are high points for us. Kenny says anyone who says all chiropractors are morons is, in fact, a moron themselves. So that's kind of what I want to talk about. Because I sat down in front of Byers yesterday, my physician, and I explained to him everything going on with these intense nerve sensations going down my arm, ending in my hand, the pins and needles, the numbness, the lack of strength. It's weak, or it felt that way. Well, he's there taking a look at my neck and moving it. Is that hurt? Yeah. Is that hurt? Yeah. So then he's pinpointing, and then he tests my strength. He goes, okay, though you're complaining of weakness, your hands are still very strong. I'm doing these tests with him. Pull your hands away. Squeeze my finger, you know, all that shit. Chris writes, oh, please, baby Jesus, tell us he recommended a chiropractor. Of course not. Of course he didn't recommend a chiropractor. He's not a fucking flake asshole doctor. He's a good doctor. He did what you dumbasses should do, and that is listen to your doctor. Here's the problem that you idiots do. The thing that you do that is a problem, I should say. All right? You sit around when you have back problems, and then you go, oh, I just diagnosed my problem. I must go see a chiropractor. They will fix it. And then those slimes get their claws and you say, all right, yeah, we can do this. And they crack your back. Oh, it feels so much better now. And it feels better till the time you get out in the car. And then you schedule like 10 more. Oh, yeah, you're going to need at least 100 more visits before it's fixed, before we, quote, break up the scar tissue or some shit like that. It's all bullshit. Fucking lies. You got to do it the right way. Drugs. And he put me on some drugs. So that's good news. All right, Eric. I'm going to put you on prednisone. That is a steroid for 5 days. Big dose. 40 milligrams. Take it in the morning because it makes you all amped up. I go, all right, I can live with that. I like amped up. He goes, and when you go to bed, I'm going to calm your ass down. You're going to take a muscle relaxer. I go, okay, doc, that sounds good. Take me through it. What is this doing to me? He goes, well, easy. This buys you some time. First of all, it's going to take away the painful discomfort you've been experiencing. And it's only like a 5-day dose. Let's get that in you. And then all that wonkiness in there is going to settle down. You won't be in pain, and it's going to start to heal. We need that. You need this window of time to heal. I go, you're damn right, because he did diagnose what Dr. Steve said as a, what was the word again? Cervical radiculopathy. Dr. Steve was 100% right in his assessment. Dr. Byers was also, do you concur? I concur. I take those muscle relaxers. Then I lay down in my bed and Pooh Bear's there. And boy, I got very, very tired. was fantastic. Out go the lights. Wake up today, more prednisone. Rebecca says, that makes me break out. Yeah, you got to be careful. Sometimes there's allergic reactions. So, okay. And then he says, an easy, we're going to do physical therapy. We need to work this thing. He goes, now this is going to take a little while. Sometimes these nerves, they don't respond as quickly as you'd like them to. It's not like healing up a cut on your hand. Okay. And so that means you got to get in there. You got to do your physical therapy, and then you're going to be good as new. I know it. Nowhere in that discussion did he suggest a local back cracker could help me out. Come on now. Bob says, I'm on prednisone right now. Enjoy the random excessive sweats and mood swings. I think acne is also a side effect. All right. Now, is it working? Easy. Yes. I feel better right now than I have in weeks. I still know it's there, but it seems to be working. Great question. Are a lot of these issues from how much time you have to spend sitting? I think so. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a doc, but I said to him, I go, look, it happens the most when I take my right hand and put it on this mouse and I look up at the screen, and then all hell breaks loose. So that might be what's up. I think ultimately, with how this physical therapy, how they expect it will go, I think I really should start to come up with some type of more involved strength program. When I say more involved, I mean like more than what I'm doing right now, which is nothing. Chris says a vertical mouse can help the hand also. I don't know what that is. What the hell is a vertical mouse? I've seen it mentioned on here before. Vertical. Oh God, I can't even type. Ah, I got you. More, as they say, ergonomic. Might be a good idea. Only $7.61. I'm going to try that. I am going to try that. Chris says your hand is in a more natural position when you use that. Nick says office people are always the ones all broken down. I carry heavy shit all day and I'm fine. That's exactly right. I had read somewhere, people talk about it, they say that sitting is as bad for your body as smoking is. And that's got to be a crock of shit, right? Sitting is as bad for you as smoking? I do not accept that. Notice how I just got up and now I'm like stretching my leg out. I feel the need to do that now. All right. So we're buying a sideways mouse. We're not going to see a chiropractor. I feel like a million times better with these drugs flowing through my body. And I mean, even if I can just keep taking drugs, I'll be happy. Nick says, you got to run around your studio with a headset like that crazy stock market guy. What about if during songs on the Insane Asylum, I can do like some calisthenics in here? I don't know if I mentioned this on the free show. I think I did. But during the sports show with JC, I farted on that mic and it went over the air. And I am trying to get that audio. He didn't say anything after the show, but by the reaction that his face made, and by the reaction by the people in the chat, it was a real blast. It was a real blaster. Chris says that was hilarious. So let me send JC a text. Perhaps he can help out with this. He's the guy I was doing the show with. I'll send it to JJ, the operations manager. Hey, .. Do those shows on the sports station get archived for podcast replay? ? I'd love to get a copy of that. ? All right. Yeah, I would love to be able to replay that on here of Easy Fart Mike heard on the radio when he was interviewing guy from the local airport. You know, that was one of those. I didn't even know that was coming. That's one of those things that, you know, it's like, hey, let's talk about the airport. Go fly Traverse City or whatever. JC gave the camera the what the fuck look. Dr. Jim Barry is departing. Look, Jim, you got to follow the page and you got to subscribe to it so that you won't get ads next time. And by the way, congratulations to your son. Dr. Jim Barry's son just graduated summa cum laude at, forget the name of the college. You sent me a picture of him, and it's absolutely sweet. He is the best in his field, best in his class. I think that's what that means, summa cum laude. I don't know, pretty close to it. But he just finished his college career. Because I know you like puppy pics, he writes, because he sent me a picture of him, and I got to get it for you. I need to share this with you. This is spectacular. I wanted to make sure I was able to access it. So before you go, Dr. Jim, it is a moment to talk about your amazing son, okay? Let's get to it here. In this picture right here, this is Dr. Jim's son, and he's had to work his ass off in college to graduate with those types of honors, summa cum laude. And as you can see, he is restricted to a wheelchair, but that's not keeping him down. This is probably one of the professors or the folks that give him the certificate of completion. And that's his service dog there. Look at that dog. That dog looks spectacular. I'm curious as to what the dog does. Dr. Jim writes, our son Cooper graduated tonight summa cum laude from Coastal Carolina University, and earlier today at the honors convocation, he was recognized by the Wall College of Business as the college's outstanding undergraduate for the class of 2024. He and his service dog, Ross, regally outfitted in his CCU commencement garb, he's got a tuxedo, are pictured here with University President Michael Benson. Another note, I hope the appointment went well today. Okay, so that's him talking about my busted chicken wing. Congratulations. That is really, really great. I can never hear that award title without thinking about jizz. Summa cum laude. Yeah, I know. It's got a very jizzy sound to it. Congrats to him. All right. You may have seen this video. The Indiana Pacers, they got eliminated from the playoffs the other day. I think last night. I take it back. The Indiana Pacers eliminated the Bucks. All right. Now, I don't know shit about basketball. I don't really follow it or anything like that, but this is worth it. This player from the Bucks, he was frustrated and he didn't like fans heckling him. This is a pretty weak thing to do, in my opinion. He's got the headband on, I think. And it's a little grainy. I apologize. Okay. It's this guy in the headband and he's yelling at this guy right here. I hope you can see my mouse. The guy who's got the yellow sleeves with the blue torso. That's the Pacers gear he's wearing. All right. So he's doing some jawing. This woman right here, minding her own business. Why didn't it play the whole thing? Okay, let me start it over. Watch Beverly.
Beverly.
He's throwing the ball at the fan, and I don't know why, but it's clip. The beginning, when I first watched this clip, you get to see him throw it the first time. He threw it twice. And the first time he hit that chick who was covering up her head right in the head. And then this fan, so he's already thrown it once. It hit this chick in the head and she's like, ow, that hurts. If you ever got hit with a basketball, that hurts like fuck. That's like getting hit by a brick. And then he throws it, the fan throws it back to him, and then the basketball player says, all right, I'm going to throw it at you again. So he's going to get sued for a ton of cash, no doubt. That's the way that goes. My God, what an asshole.
Here.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. Yeah.
You subscribe to my pod?
Do I subscribe to you? I do not subscribe.
So you can't interview me then. Okay. No disrespect.
Well, Jamal is here.
You subscribe? Okay, cool. Yeah. That's cool.
Again, there were a couple times within a bucket or two. In previous games, y'all have been able to kind of get over that.
All right, that's a different clip. I'm kind of disappointed because I watched the first clip that I had today, and Beverly... you actually see him throw the ball and it hits a chick right in the head. She's not participating in the heckling. She's just saying, go Pacers. Go team. Way to go. Way to beat the Bucks. She's minding her own business. This fucking dummy throws the ball and then it hits her right in the head. And then idiot fan throws it back to the guy who then throws it back at him. Bob says, why throw it back? Keep that shit. Souvenir. Yeah, so she has to sue the team. She has to sue everybody. The security, the arena, whoever made the basketball. I mean, you gotta go get your damn, you gotta get paid if some basketball player throws the goddamn ball and it hits you in the head. That's a concussion. Excuse me. Tyler says that's the most interesting thing that has happened in the NBA all season. What's interesting about that is I made that comment about the NBA to JC today. I couldn't disagree more. The NBA is fantastic. I'm like, oh, God, fucking terrible. Maybe I should go and make an effort to watch it, but I'm thinking, oh, fucking why? You know, I don't even watch things that I enjoy anymore. All I do is talk. Chatter. I talked for almost 6 hours. Now take it back. Wait a minute. I'm not complaining. I'm just adding up. I'm doing the math. 2.5 hours for Who Are These Zanes and the Patreon bonus podcast. I'm working backwards. So that's 150 minutes plus another 44 minutes for the Patreon daily podcast. And then I did an hour 50 of the free podcast. 3 hours, 40 minutes. 4 hours and 24 minutes. That's continuous talk because it's just me and or Ben of the group. But I consider that to be straight through. And then the radio show. But the radio show is just, I probably talk maybe 10 minutes in a 4-hour show. Isn't that ridiculous? It's a lot. And then I get neck pain and back pain and everybody tells me to go see a stupid chiropractor. Tyler says, JC is full of shit. I'm pretty sure viewership is way down for the NBA. I don't know. He seems to think he knows a thing or two. So I remember about a month or two ago, I was talking about the Boeing whistleblower who was saying, yeah, all the way they build the planes is shit. There's not enough quality control. There's a lot of reasons why shit is falling off planes. They have problems at Boeing. And I remember describing like on a Friday that, oh, yeah, this guy, he's blowing the whistle, so more and more news is going to come out about Boeing, and I mean they're just not doing their diligence to keep planes from falling apart while they're in the air, and
various issues with their plane. So this is a huge, huge deal. Well, that guy killed himself. Like about a month after he came forward. But that's okay. There's other whistleblowers. Well, the second whistleblower is now dead. Now, I kind of think that anybody who gives me conspiracy theories is, you kind of piss me off. But I'm all about this one. The latest Boeing whistleblower to die happened Tuesday in Wichita, Kansas. The whistleblower spent 2 weeks hospitalized in critical condition after contracting a sudden infection. In early 2023, Joshua Dean, who was a quality auditor at Boeing supplier Spirit AeroSystems, you've heard that mentioned, accused Spirit leadership of ignoring manufacturing defects on the Boeing 737 MAX model. This is the exact plane that the shit's been falling off of. He's like, oh, okay, yeah, there's no one's policing what should be policed. There should be rivets there. There should be this. There should be that. The plane is being put together with incorrectly or just defects. There's problems on these planes when they roll off. This is a guy who with like a high-powered magnifying glass is going to scan pieces of metal before they're attached to make sure that the metal is appropriate without cracks and find things that the untrained eye can't see. Basically just doing the job of making sure the plane stays in the fucking air. Well, this guy's dead now. The first guy is John Barnett. He was found dead from an apparent suicide in March in the middle of his deposition against Boeing. Sorry, you're dead. Boeing, as I indicated, has been facing increased scrutiny since the start of 2024 when the fucking door plug fell out and all sorts of other shit. The death of this latest dude was reported on May 1. Family says, yeah, he was in great health. And he was noted for having a healthy lifestyle. And then a sudden, fast-spreading infection. This is like shit in Russia. That's what this is. Follow the money. Who? Raise your hand if you don't think this is foul play. It's of course foul play. I need to talk to somebody who thinks that this is actually legit. Oh yeah, he just got sick. It's weird. Dean had filed a complaint with the Department of Labor after he was fired from Spirit, alleging he was terminated because he was raising safety concerns. He had given a deposition in a Spirit shareholder lawsuit and complained to the Federal Aviation Administration about the 737 production line at Spirit. Wow. The lawyer for Brian Knowles, lawyer Brian Knowles, who represented both Dean and Barnett, who killed him, the guy who shot himself or killed himself, told the outlet he didn't want to speculate about the timing of Dean's death. Why not? Quote, whistleblowers are needed. They bring to light wrongdoing and corruption, Joe, in the interests of society, Joe. It takes a lot of courage to stand up. Knowles said, it's a difficult set of circumstances. Our thoughts now are with John's family and Josh's family. Okay. There is no doubt in my mind that this is subversive. Something ridiculous is going on. Linda says she may have to investigate for the Big Fraud News Network. Nate says these two both got Clintoned. That is a reference to the, I think it was the Whitewater real estate scandal. All the people that were supposed to file depositions against the Clintons to get them into trouble. They were all murdered. And or they died in suspicious ways and weirdo shit like this. And I was like, I don't know. So basically, if you knew anything about this, You were dead.
Like that scene in Goodfellas when De Niro's character, what's his name? Jimmy the Gent? No. Is it Jimmy the Gent? No, Jimmy the Gent was Casino. Who was Jimmy the Gent? Was it Casino or Goodfellas? Anyway, De Niro's character in Goodfellas starts whacking everybody. I'm just going to give up on this goddamn reference. I can't even speak. Goodfellas, what an asshole. Incredible. I have no one saying that it seems on the up and up. Up and up. Oh, I can't even talk. I'm drunk. Up and up. Clearly intoxicated. Hang on, I need water. All right. I still have the Patreon bonus podcast to get to. You're all invited to join me. Check it out. Patreon.com/Eric Zane. PATREON.com/Eric Zane. Later in the day, I will be publishing the audio from yesterday's Who Are These Zanes, which was ridiculously entertaining. It was an Eric Zane kind of still in the background of the radio show that I was on at the time in December of 2001 as the third wheel on a show known as Free Beer and Hot Wings. Future nominees for the Radio Hall of Fame. And there's some really funny things that were on that show, actually. I can't ever, though I love to rub their noses and shit, there was some funny moments on that show. In particular, Greg doing a crank call to somebody. And I'm like, listen to him go. It is, I mean, he really... I couldn't believe how fast he was on his feet in his younger days, or his feast. The fuck is wrong with me? So that'll be available on patreon.com/Eric Zane. Sign up for 7 days so you can enjoy, well, whatever you want, and it's free. You sign up for 7 days. You do have to put in a payment form. Now, if you don't cancel that before the end of the 7 days, it'll charge you. And I don't want to trick you into that because you like have forgotten. I want you to sign up for the Patreon and keep signed up to it because of what it stands for on its merits and if it's entertaining you. So I advise you to do this. Sign up the way I just said and then immediately cancel. That way you won't forget. And you can always re-sign up. You know, let's say you get through the 7 days and you do what I just told you to do and then it ends. And then you're like 10 days later, you want to check out more and you're like, oh, well, that's right. I canceled. Now I got to sign up again, but that's cool because I've already done the trial and I know what I'm getting. I'm knowing what my money is going to go for. So that's how I do it. And it seems to be working. I've picked up since April of last year. I'm trending up. I have 60 new full-time Patreon members and every month I'm adding a few more and it's all because of the free trial. So thank you so much if you've done that, or if you're new, or if you're even just trying it out. I'd like to make it very simple for you. PATREON.com/Eric Zane. Frank Fuss, My Policy Shop Insurance, the absolute best. So if you're in between jobs, Ashley, maybe you are a business owner, you pay for insurance yourself, or your boss does not offer you insurance, you have to get it through the marketplace. Healthcare.gov. But you go into healthcare.gov and following all the steps, it's fine, but you might mess something up. And it takes you time. Wouldn't it be nice to have Frank do all of this for you? And the best part is he does it free. That's right. Frank gets paid by the insurance companies who he's putting you in their policies. That's how he gets compensated. So you should work with a licensed independent insurance agent / dealer. And the one preferred on this show is Frank Fuss. Go to buyinsurancehere.com. He can help you with any type of insurance, not to mention life insurance, auto, home. He does it all. Go to buyinsurancehere.com, fill out the form, and away you go. Irvine's Auto Repair, Grand Rapids Hybrid and EV. Show mom, Megan, and her mom and dad have a great family-run business. ervines.com, ervines.com. You can reach out to them if you want to just give them a call. 616-532-6600. It makes the process of getting your vehicle repaired seem like, wow, okay, this is the service I need. the unbelievable utmost level of professionalism that you will ever see in this industry. Thank you so much. Irvines.com for more information. Joe Martinez says, hey, let me tune up your AC. $79. Clean that thing up. If you've never done this, your AC looks like hell on the outside. There's that cover around that thing that kind of goes, yeah. It's loaded with dust, dirt, debris, pollen. It needs to be cleaned. Not to mention all of the intricate electronics that make your AC work. They need to be looked at. Reach out to Joe, 616-516-8579 and schedule today. Cost you $79. Mario has a Van Dyke Mortgage. If you're thinking about getting after a mortgage, you need to have Mario do it for you. Call Mario 231-332-6505 from anywhere in the U.S. They will roll out the red carpet for you. And last but not least today, thank you so much to King's Room Barbershop. They have just signed on for another quarter. I appreciate them so much. Three locations, Northland Drive, Caledonia, and beautiful Wyoming at 821 36th Street. Can anybody guess what I'm looking for now? Votes coming in as to what I'm looking around this room for. You guessed it, my dry erase marker for asshole of the day. I was using it yesterday to illustrate something. Son of a bitch. Fuck it. Who is the asshole of the day? Anybody have any suggestions for the asshole of the day? David says asshole of the day, EZ's dry erase marker. Oh god, it's a fucking mystery how shit disappears around here. Asshole of the day is Boeing for murdering people. Boeing or Spirit, whatever the fuck it's called. It's not Spirit Airlines. It's Spirit something. Pretend that it says those things on here, the asshole of the day. Okay, thanks for the time as always. You guys are great. Appreciate the support. Till next time, have a good one, folks. Bye-bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.